Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to be a part of our program today. We have someone very special that we have on the air with us that we're going to be doing this great show with. We're going to get to her in just a second. You are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And you can email us at david@revmedianetwork.com. Yesterday, we had Maheed El-Shafi on the show with us, and we talked about his persecutions in Iran and around the Muslim nations. And today, we have a pastor and author, a woman of faith, Ms. Karen Dunham from Jerusalem. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great.
Amen. Well, we're excited to have you. We're excited that you're part of the show today. And one thing that we're excited that God is using us to just put a platform out there for you to speak about what you're doing. And
great.
And for those that don't know you, Karen, it's okay for me to call you Karen, or you want me to call you Pastor?
No, sure. Karen's good.
Karen, how long have you been following the Lord?
I've been following the Lord for right around 15 years. I met him in 1997.
Man, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, tell us a little bit about your testimony. And I ask all our guests that is to share us who you are and your testimony, and then we'll get right into your ministry and your book, okay?
Okay. For 40 years, I was just in the world chasing everything that the world had to offer. I was in bars and bedrooms and prison and just really, you know, whatever Satan had out there, I wanted a piece of it. And the mafia tried to kill me and my son, and I blew right into the arms of Jesus.
Mm. Amen. Amen. So what year was that?
That was in 1997.
Now, did you hear of the Lord? Or where were you living at this time?
No, I was living in a house, and my sister-in-law was a Baptist missionary, and she knew the mafia was following me. So she came over and said, "Why don't you come over and spend the night?" And she said, "You know, you've been to the police, and you've been to the FBI, and you've been to the Secret Service, and you've been to the governor. She goes, "Why don't you try Jesus Christ? I think he might help you." And so I said to her, "Okay, how do we get Jesus Christ to help us?" And she said, "Well, if you really want him to help you, you got to get on your knees and ask him into your heart first." And so me and my son got on our knees and asked him into our heart, and we felt a flood of peace come over us. I mean, it was just an incredible encounter with the Lord, because neither one of us, we didn't have any church background. You know, maybe a Salvation Army camp or, you know, something when you were younger.
Yeah.
But we really didn't know the Lord at all. And so it was quite radical. I went to tell my parents. I gave my life to Jesus, and they thought I had went crazy, and they got an involuntary sheriff's order and was trying to put me in the mental institution. So it was like radical. It was, you know, it's just like one thing after another.
Wow. Now, your parents, did they just see it was just something that was beyond your scope of ability to receive the Lord?
They weren't Christians, and they thought I had flipped out because it was so contrary to my everyday life. There was nothing Christian about me.
Wow.
And for me to walk in and say, "We don't need any pills anymore. You know, Blake doesn't, my son doesn't need any Ritalin anymore." I said, "We met Jesus, and Jesus is going to heal us, and he's going to take care of us." I mean, they thought that was, you know, that I'd totally lost my mind.
So after they didn't put you in the mental hospital, what happened after that?
After that, the Lord appeared to me. He said, "I'm looking for a servant." And we ended up going up to a campground in Charles Stanley's church in Atlanta because my sister-in-law was a Southern Baptist missionary, so I wanted to go up to Charles Stanley's church and buy some reading material. And then we went to a Christian campground and just had these radical encounters with God.
Amen. Amen. And at what point in this did you just get your mission from God?
While we were having these radical encounters for a year and a half, the mafia was still doing nasty things to us, leaving our gas on, you know, our electrical power box blew up. I mean, they were doing little nasty things to us, and it kept us very close to the Lord. And the Lord told me one day through my son, he said, my son said, Mom, God wants you to go to the grocery store, and the manager is going to give you free food, and he wants you to call yourself living bread, and he wants you to go feed the poor. And so that was our first commissioning from the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So you were out feeding people. Now, what part of the world are you in when you started doing that?
We were in Atlanta, Georgia then.
Okay.
So we stayed out there. We were known as the Bread Lady. So we stayed out there for a while. And again, my son was playing Nintendo, and he got this call. He landed in London. He said, God said we're to go to London. And we ended up staying in London in Wales for 2 years, preaching on the streets, feeding the poor, working in soup kitchens, you know, casting demons out of people. Just, it was just wonderful and wild and full of the power of God on the streets of Swansea, Wales. And then from there, I went back to America, and I worked in a soup kitchen, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Israel. And that's how I ended up here in Israel. Once I got to Israel, I just stood at the Western Wall where the Jewish people pray, and it's still standing, part of King Solomon's temple, the wall there. And so we would go there and we would pray. And then one day I met a Catholic priest, and he said, if you'll go to Jerusalem and feed the people, if you'll go to Jericho and feed the people, you can win the whole city for Jesus Christ. So I went into Jericho. I moved into a Palestinian refugee camp. They blew up my car. They started my house on fire. They threatened our lives. I mean, we had a lot of persecution, but we blew right into the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. Now, how long have you been doing this work now since you went to start feeding in Israel?
I've been in Israel, this will be 11 years.
Well, so almost all your Christian life. I mean, you've been 15
right.
years. Right,
almost,
oh,
almost.
Wow. And that's amazing. So that's amazing how God prepared you to feed in Atlanta.
He started in Atlanta. And we've worked in a relationship with the Israeli army. They recommended us for a political status like UN. And so we're in the country, Living Bread International Church, with a UN status, and I have an office in Gaza, and I have one in Jericho, and then I have one here in Jerusalem. And we have a team down in Jericho, and before Ramadan, they had 17 house churches running. Now, at Ramadan, a lot of them close down, and you got to ignite them and get them up and going again because there's a lot of persecution.
Sure.
But they love it. I mean, they're baptizing like the Book of Acts. They're taking complete families to the Jordan River.
Amen. 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 So you're over there now. What you feed people, what other parts of the ministry that you do over there?
Well, we have a justice ministry because there's no social affairs in the Palestinian side. So any time that, you know, an abused child or woman comes our way, because this is really kept under lock and key over here, but anytime we have the opportunity, we get involved in ministering like that. Or when a woman gets beat by her husband, you know, something like this. Because the Palestinians, the Muslims, they don't have social affairs. And if you go to somebody and you tell somebody that your father raped you or your husband beat you up, then you're dishonoring the family. And a lot of times the woman could end up dead. And so we really love being involved in the justice ministry. And we're also doing workshops between Palestinians and Jews. We feel that God wants us, I mean, we've done like milk for the babies. We've done a lot of feeding programs. We've rebuilt houses. But we feel 2012, 2013, God wants us to do reconciliation workshops between Jews and Arabs. Not, I'm not talking about Christians now. I'm talking about Muslims, and I'm talking about Jewish people.
Oh, wow. Wow, tell us about that.
It's really awesome. We had a delegation from one of the kibbutzes come to me, with a, and the soldier was with them that I used to work with as a liaison officer to bring aid into the city of Jericho. And they said, we know that you lived in Jericho for 5 years. And they said, we'd like you to represent us with peace talks with our Palestinian neighbors. So we've just kind of jumped in with both feet. Now we're just praying and seeking the Lord for other opportunities. We also flew Palestinian school teachers and Gaza school teachers to Turkey, to the 7 churches of listed in the book of Revelation. So we use them as a platform to preach the gospel, and we give them a tour, and then we sit and break bread with them and talk to them about forgiveness. Because in extreme ideology, if you forgive your enemy, it's a sign of weakness. So we like to promote forgiveness.
Wow. That's good. That's good. And how long have y'all been doing that? I know you said 2012, 2013. When was your kickoff?
We've been doing the reconciliation, building up to it, the last 2 years.
Okay.
I mean, first we took Palestinian school teachers. Then we added Gaza. Then we added, you know, and now, right now we're getting ready to tie them into Israel. Because this is a process, because our Gaza school teachers comes from Islamic Jihad background. So we've been working in development for 2 years. Now, I just got to speak in a United States military school who asked to ask us if we'd be interested in partnering with them on a grant program to further these anti-terror educational workshops.
Wow, God is definitely opening up some doors for you there, my sister. Tell us about that.
There's just huge doors opening up. I mean, it really is. We've been given a Palestinian license, so we're allowed to buy land. And nobody gets to buy land over here. You can buy it on the Jewish side, but you can't buy it on the Palestinian side. Because on the Palestinian side, they're afraid you might be buying it for a Jewish person. But through a lot of tribulation, we're allowed now to buy land. And so we've got our eye on a $600,000 piece of property, and we would like to buy it and build a center for our Muslim converts. The reason why is all of our converts, they're not welcome in the church anywhere on the Arab side or the Jewish side, because people are afraid of them, because they're coming out of terrorist backgrounds. They're not afraid of the convert, but they're afraid of their family.
Oh, I see. I see.
So there's no place for them to go. So we got home churches running, but we would like to build them their own church, just a place they can call their own. And so that's another thing that we're working on there.
Amen. Amen. For those just joining us, we're talking to Karen Dunham. She has a work that she's been doing for many years, 11 years plus, over there in Jerusalem. And the doors have opened wide for her. And you can visit her website, livingbreadchurch.org. Karen, we got your book, Pushing the Pillars. How long has this book been out?
The book has been out, how long has the book been out? 2 months? Yeah, the book's been out like 2 months, and the website, let me just correct you, please, is livingbreadchurch.com.
Oh, .com. Okay, because the stuff they sent me said it worked. Sorry.
yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's livingbreadchurch.com, and our new book is out, and the book is about our testimony of from the mafia to the glory of God. And as a young child, I was in foster homes, I was in prison, I was beaten till, you know, my grandmother wondered if my father was going to kill me. And so, and I met the Lord and just totally set free. Then the Islamic extreme, they come after us, and, you know, they threaten our life and they try to kill us. My son was in a bus explosion. He was run over by a semi-truck. The Lord raised him from the dead, and we just blew right into the glory of God. So God's given us a tremendous testimony, but it's come with a lot of trials.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. When God's going to lift you to a place where no others go, there is going to be trials. There's going to be a few get to that spot without the trials. I don't think any can get to the spot without the trials. And you're doing great jobs and stuff. Now, when the reader reads this book, what do you want them to get when they finish? They put it down, they put it on their bed, or they put it in their shelves. What do you want the readers to get from this book?
Well, the people are telling me when they're reading the book, I'm getting emails from people around the world. They say, look, I read it once, I'm going to read it again. One young girl says, I felt like a prophetic mantle come upon me. Others are so encouraged. They said, wow, I thought my life was dead, and God took you through so much and is using you so mightily. There's hope for me, because I'm non-academic. I don't have a lot of education. You know, nobody would have picked me for one of their teams. But I feel as people read the story, they're going to be so blessed. They're going to realize God can use anyone.
Wow. Amen. Amen. So you also work in refugee camps?
We work in refugee camps. There's 27 refugee camps here in the land.
Wow.
And we work in the refugee camps. I mean, we do different ministry, pray for the people, take them food. You know, Mark's sitting here, our operations manager. I mean, he's got a team working in the refugee camps every week.
Amen. Well, let's talk to Mark real quick. Let's just get a little
yeah,
few questions
let me
to
just
him.
Give you Mark.
Hello, Reverend.
Hey, my brother. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Hey, so tell us about the refugee camps. What's going on in there? A lot of people don't understand that. Just give us the scope of what's there, but then also what y'all do.
Okay, the refugee camps aren't like what you see on the TV, like tents. They used to be tents, and it was just like a town of tents. But now what happened was they were supposed to be dispersed, the aid that was coming into Palestine was supposed to break these camps up. But it just seems that it's, for one reason or another, the Palestinian government loves keeping the people in these refugee-type camps, and the aid that's coming in doesn't seem to reach them. So there's this real void that we, the ministry, are helping to fill, really. And what it is they're just big concrete buildings. It's very simple living. I mean, some of the families that we visit do not have running water. They have to get water bought in for them. They're very, very poor. A lot of them are fatherless. There's a lot of orphans. And one thing that really is popping up in the last 6 months is, as Karen was just saying, about social justice, we're getting a lot of disabled children. And as a result of this, in our social, we're basically making people aware. I mean, we have good relationships with the hospital now, with the welfare system.
Amen.
In Jericho, and we're just working the system to say, hey, listen, these people need to be looked after, not hidden away, tucked away. Yes, we understand you're all poor, but there's no reason that these people, you know, just because they weren't born the same way as what we were or have disabilities, there's no reason they should be left out of society. So we're really working hard to bring them back into society, and have had some really good success with that.
Amen.
And as Karen also said, we... our home studies, our Bible studies, I mean, we're going into these homes. They have no real idea. They know Jesus through the Quran, but we're just teaching them through chapter teaching. We'll just read a chapter, wait for the Holy Spirit to hit. They'll ask us questions, and we're just seeing real big moves of God. And the ones that are real anti-Jesus, we're sort of like putting on the line, well, it's the Quran or the Bible, and they're getting encounters with Jesus. They're actually
Amen.
Getting visions of Jesus.
Amen. Can you share some testimonies of what's happening with that? What kind of miracles you're seeing out there?
Okay. What's happened? We had one man who's like just mosque every day. And by the way, I must say, what we're getting is a result of the ground that was ploughed by Karen and her son and other missionaries that have come before. We're basically just reconnecting with these families. Yes, the hard work's been done. The persecution that Karen copped is not so much hard on us. We do get a little bits and pieces. You know, the kids pick up rocks ready to throw them when they see us. But they're still very anti-Christian. It's an Islamic society, and you know our groups are scattered all amongst the refugee camps. So we have to be quite wise and strategic about the way we move. But this one family, it'd probably be one of the poorest families in Jericho. He has, I think, 10 children. He's an older type man, I would say, he'd be 55, 60, loves telling stories, and we come up there and he loves taking the aid, but he just believes that Jesus never died. That's what he kept on telling us, that Jesus never died. The Quran states that, you know, he likes everything about the Bible, but Jesus never died. And, you know, the team was really getting frustrated with it. They're thinking, are we bashing our heads against a brick wall, Mark? Do we really need... And I said to them, you know, we've just got to keep on persisting. We've just got to keep on just going up and just loving over these people. Well, he basically asked us to leave and said that he didn't want any more Christian teaching. And we just put, I actually challenged him. I said, the Bible or the Quran? And he goes, and I said, we'll see which one God raises up. And we got a phone call the following week to ask us to come back round, and his whole demeanor had changed. He'd had an encounter with Jesus. He'd gone out. He lives up on the top, just near at the base of the Mount of Temptation. He'd gone out and he was having a cigarette out the front, and Jesus came and sat right in front of him, touched his face, and said to him that, you know, that he loved him very much and that he would like him to give. And I mean, we're talking the poorest of the poorest, but he's got a small block of land on the other side of his house that's pretty much unusable. But the fact of the matter was, he wanted to give it to the church. He said, I want to sign this over to Karen Dunham. What she's done here, I understand now this Jesus that she's been talking about. It was quite amazing. It was a real testimony to the team.
That's amazing.
And of course, the most amazing thing really is watching them accept Jesus, and then, as Karen just stated, taking them down as a family. We load them all into the van, taking them down, wheelchairs and everything, and baptize them as a family in the Jordan River. That, I must say, is very fulfilling.
Amen, amen. And Mark, you hit it right on the head. You know, sometimes we want the quick results, and we get tired of just going to the same places and ministering. But you know, God has a time for everyone. And like you said, that Karen, you know, she sowed the seed, she watered the seed, she constantly was out there persecuted. So you're reaping a harvest that you don't have to do as much effort. There's effort, but not as much effort and not as much persecution, because God's opened the way, and there's good ground there for you to minister to.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, like the team, I'll share, I'm glad the team's not listening, but like at the start, there was two people down in Jericho at the start of the year. And we basically had to sack out the top people that were in charge of the church before we moved into home churches, because they were becoming money orientated, greed, and we just felt like God wanted to do a new thing there, and we headed and we separated them all so that we could have one-on-one in their families. And as you know, Palestinians have big families, so we've got a pretty big church with 17 home churches, you know. And after we'd done that, all of a sudden the fruit started to flow in. Prayer. We would pray for people and they'd be healed. Their deliverances started to come. Miracles with people that had nothing. All of a sudden, we've gone in, and that's what we do. We go in. We rather than them relying on us and becoming needy on us, we're about empowering them, because we could be pulled out at any moment. So it's all about them, being empowered, and the translators that we have, we're training them as pastors. And at the start of the year, there was only two. No one wanted to go to Jericho. Now the team's fighting each other to get down there because God's splashing all over the place. You know, you've got to love God, you know.
Amen.
And you've got to love the people, you know.
Amen.
The hearts are there.
Amen. So, amen. Well, thank you, Mark. We appreciate you coming on the show with us as well. Let's talk to Karen real quick.
No worries. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Miss Karen. You got a great worker there. You got a great partner in ministry. You know.
Oh, I tell you, I got the best team ever in Jerusalem, the city of the great King. I am so blessed.
Amen. Well, that's amazing, the things that are happening over there. And like I was telling Mark, you know, it's because of the ground, and he mentioned it as well, the ground that you worked on, the persecution, the going back, even though you knew the dangers and still going to the same people, bringing the word of God, bringing help and love to them. Because a lot of times you can't reach people just with words. You got to give them some substance. And that's amazing how, you know, now he's working out there for you and he's reaping what you've sown out there, and that's
great.
That's just amazing.
The Lord is so faithful.
Amen. Amen. Well, let everybody know how to get a hold of you.
Okay. Livingbreadchurch.com is a great way to get a hold of us. Or you can email us at info@livingbreadchurch.com, and we respond to that. Or this phone number right here, I'm not sure what it is, but you're welcome to give it to the people.
I can give it
if
to
they'd
them.
Like to. It's a United States phone number that rings in Jerusalem.
Okay, let me give
We're
it to
We're on
them.
A different... Okay.
Let me give it to them right now. It's 813-506-8823. Again, that number is 813-506-8823. Taking advantage of the internet and using it for the kingdom. That's a internet phone, rings anywhere, and God has blessed her with that, and that's good. And now, can you share with people the needs that you may have for your ministry?
Well, we always need manpower. We need people with administrative gifts. We need people with media gifts. We need people that like to do brochures, send out thank you cards. And, you know, you understand that we're in Jerusalem, you know, that drinks the rain of heaven, the center of the nations. And so there's tour groups that come in and out all the time, and sometimes we'll take people on tour. So it's almost like every kind of talent, even the helps, you know, mopping the floor and cleaning the toilet, we can use everybody.
Amen.
There's nobody out there that we can't find a job for.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So we need help. We can always use funding for people that want to stay at home and they just want to support missionaries. Over here, we've got a lot of people working for us over here that sold everything. They come over and they use their money till it just runs out. And then the Lord usually raises up someone that says, you know what, I can't go, but I sure would like to support a missionary there in Jerusalem or Jericho or Gaza. And also our ministry, we appreciate support. So, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of things in prayer. We can use prayer warriors.
Amen.
If you like to pray, maybe you've never done something for God before, and he lives to make intercession. And, you know, we can give you a list of things to pray for, and you could pray for us every day. And that is, I think that's probably the greatest gift, is having somebody pray for us every day.
Amen. Amen. So that's livingbreadchurch.com. And you can go there, get information. The phone number again is 813-506-8823. info@livingbreadchurch.com if you want to email. And this has been a great show, my sister.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Where can they get your book, Pushing the Pillars? Where can they get this book at?
It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon.
Okay. All right.
It's on Amazon, or they can just send me an email, and I'll send them the link.
Okay. Amen. Well, hey, hold on the line real quick. I'm going to go to a commercial. And I'll be right back to talk with you, okay?
Okay.
Amen. Thank you again for being on our show.
Amen. Welcome.
Amen. And that was Miss Karen Dunham, and we're excited about that. We're going to talk more about that on the second segment and how you can be a blessing for ministries like this overseas. And, you know, we all got to do our part. You know, this is a woman that just stood in faith, a woman that just completely put her trust in God, started in a feed ministry in Atlanta, and now she's doing a huge ministry out there. So don't ever despise small beginnings. Don't ever despise where God sends you first, because he has a reason for the first place he sends you, and he has great things planned for you. And we'll be right back, and we'll talk about some of that stuff in just a minute.
You've been listening to Rev Media Network.
Network.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection. I want to take this time just to thank all the hosts that have sent in their shows and have been at the studio, at the Auxiliary Studio, trying to get everything going and trying to get their programs on the air. This is a huge effort to try and get a station like this put together within the next month or so. The next few weeks, we'll be putting the actual shows through the main station at the church that we have, the property that we have, and we're going to be broadcasting this live 24/7 like we're doing now, but we're going to have more programming at that time. I have churches that have agreed to sign up and to send their MP3s and their CDs to us so we can get this thing going. Now, if you're interested and you like the broadcast, let me tell you this for just 1 minute. We have people from Russia, Netherlands, China, Belgium, Spain, Africa, all listening. I can go online, I can show you statistics and show you who's streaming and who's hearing from those countries. We have very, very up-to-date software. We have the latest information available to us through the web that gives us the ratings and stuff of what we're doing out there. And we're touching people. People are listening anywhere from, 3 minutes to 15 minutes to even an hour at a time. So don't think this is just going out to deaf ears. I believe this is touching and reaching people. I believe that you can be a part of this. It's very simple if you want to host your show from where your location is, or if you want to come into our studio and you're in the Houston area where you can actually do the show. You don't have to be in Houston or have to be at our studio to actually have a show. RevMe Network will be able to get you to where you got to go. You can be one of the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts available and around this world. If you do have material, please contact us at 888-241-0768. You can hit my extension, it was extension 5, and that'll get straight to me. Or you can go ahead and write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We can send us your CDs through that way. And also, you can email me, therev@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked WNBA superstar Tamika Catchings to name her spiritual mentors.
My family, my parents have always been, the main mentors. But my pastor and his wife have been absolutely amazing. For me, when I'm down, need kind of like inspirational lift, they are the ones that I lean on. And then even still to this day, Pat Summitt, especially when I deal with stuff on the court, she's great. When I talk to her about it, she's great at turning situations around and showing me the positive and somehow relating it, correlating it with the Christian principle.
What a blessing it is when leaders can apply the scripture to our daily lives. Dwight Allen here, your sports chaplain of the year.
Somebody asked me, why do you preach politics all the time? Well, number one, because the prophets did. Can you name one that did not? Two, because the Bible does. The evil of statism is a major theme in Scripture from the Tower of Babel to Caesar, the Beast of Revelation. Three, God commands us to oppose injustice, to preach against corruption, and to show mercy to the poor. Four, because Jesus Christ is the ruler of nations and commands that they be discipled. Five, because the goal of redemption is for God's will to be done on earth, not just in heaven. Six, because I want a righteous nation that will be blessed and crime-free for my grandchildren. Seven, because big government tax and spend statism is treason and a violation of the U.S. Constitution. ChurchOfTheKingMcAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton. Side with God and be a winner. 585-4402. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Now, more than ever, we need to adopt the same spirit that raised up John the Baptist. He came to prepare the way for the arrival of Jesus. For John, it was to herald the first coming of the Lord Jesus. But for the new generation of prophetic proclaimers, it is for his second coming. People from all walks of life and faith are looking for answers, explanations for the out-of-control instability of our deranged planet. This is not the time for apathetic excuses or well-informed discussions. It is time for action. Politicians have let us down. The banks have let us down. And religion has let us down. It's time for a Christian revival. It's time to wake up the dead church. Lord Jesus, thank you for the wake-up call. Amen.
economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency. But you can make a difference because prayer changes things. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then God will heal the land." Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall, and let your voice be heard at the place where America was born. Stand up for righteousness as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at AmericaForJesus2012.org. Answer the call to prayer and join us at America for Jesus 2012 on September 28th and 29th on Independence Mall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Amen and amen. Well, we're back, and we had just a great show with Miss Karen Dunham. And I tell you what, my friends, it was an amazing time and very, I mean, eye-opening. Usually on an interview, I have to have some questions and stuff, and I did do my research and everything like I normally do, but you know, sometimes on an interview, you just don't know where it's going to go. You don't know where it's going to go because you just jump in, you do your part, and you pray that the guest has some great material for you. And we did have her book, which was great to have that, but we barely even covered her book. We talked mainly about what she was doing, amazing life, and like I was sharing to you before, and this is something I was trying to get into your spirit, and that is that you don't despite small beginnings, don't ever worry about where you're starting. Just be excited that God has given you something to do, and to start wherever God puts you, because, my friends, that's where you're going to get your experience. That's where you're going to get your spiritual gifts as well, going to be able to operate. And I would tell you this, countless times have I been out there, and I've always looked at back at the times when I learned how to do the prayer and learn how to do the healing services and learn how to do things like that. That's where I excelled more, because I've had experience versus not having any experience and doing things. So you trust God. You trust God for the things that you need to get done, but you just believe God that He has put you where you are at today, and you just go and you work. Look at her. Miss Karen just started at a soup kitchen, basically becoming the bread lady in Atlanta, and then being sent all the way to Israel. And God took those talents and gifts and seen her heart. So you see, a lot of times your start, your beginning is to see where your heart is, my friends. A lot of times that your beginning and your start is to see where you are in life and where you will, how much would you stay with something? You know, all of us, hey, not one of us would ever, ever want not to start. Is that even a word? All of us would want to start with a huge ministry. Who wouldn't? You know, who wouldn't want to start with something that is moving and grooving and making things happen and stick with this place? And I'm not knocking those that have had that opportunity. Praise God, because I guarantee each one of us would jump on that. But I am saying this, my friends. I am saying this, that we all would love to start there. But sometimes it's not there. Sometimes God has a different path. And if that path does lead you to a different way of working for Him, don't be disappointed if you don't have 1,000 members in your church. Praise God. Don't be disappointed if you only have a few hundred people in your church. Don't be disappointed. But just stand up, lift your hands up, be excited for where God has placed you. Be excited He's called you for the ministry. And maybe one of these days you can be a Karen Dunham. Maybe one of these days you can be running your own station and doing your own media in broadcasting. And, you know, there is a lot of things that God is doing. But He needs to see your heart. You know, the Word says that the Spirit of the Lord searches the heart of man. And it does. It knows what's in the heart. You know, and the Bible also says that God is looking for a faithful and obedient man. Someone that will be faithful and obedient. And if you put those two things together and you look and you try and find someone that would do the work of God. God is looking for someone and just checking them, making sure they're going to stick with it. You know, God knows your abilities more than you know your abilities. Praise God. He knows what you can do. He knows the greatness that is in you. He knows the faithfulness that you give. He knows the obedience that you have. But God wants to see it tested and over time, and he wants to put things in your hand. I tell you what, I've started every type of work you can think to do things for the Lord, from video to everything. And back when I was younger, I'm only 41, praise God, but back then, and tried everything, and everything, I could tell you what, did not work and did not have a great result, but it taught me a lot. So now when I'm in this ministry where I'm at, and the past 5 years has been phenomenal, and we're just going further and stronger and bigger every single few months we grow. Everything that we're doing has growth. I can look back and say, man, I remember the days that I sweated it out and nothing happened, and I was so discouraged, so disappointed. And did I miss God? No. Maybe sometimes. Who knows? But you know what I learned was that God is faithful and able to use you. So when you're in the spot, you know that you would just live your life, do what you can, because you're so happy, so glad that God is using you. Be glad that God is using you, my friends. Be glad that God is doing something with you. Now, I know that a lot of us out there have been hearing these shows, and we've been doing a little bit more interviews than we used to do normally. And I think, you know, we're going to stick with that format. You know why? Because it's working. It's changing people's lives. We're able to bring people into the station or on the phone, and they're able to share with us different things of their life. And, you know, this week has been phenomenal. We had Mike Norris, Freddie Washington, Karen Dunham, Majid El Chari. I think that I don't know if I got that last one right, but either way, my friends, we've had people from Iran, we had people from Israel, we've had Chuck Norris's son Michael Norris, amen. We had a Grammy winner and Dove Award winner Freddie Washington. A few weeks ago, we had, of course, the legend himself, B.B. Wynas. You know, even before that, we had Marilyn Hickey. We had great men of God, Wallace Henley. So God is bringing these people, giving us a relationship with them, and we're able to touch people. Now, I'll tell you what, my friends, it all started small. It did. In fact, I am looking at the spot that the computer that started it all, well, it gave up the ghost. It gave up the ghost. Well, it started it all. It was sitting right there, and it started it all. And it's no longer a computer that we have here. We sent it off to try and get fixed, and it just gave up the ghost and could not get fixed. And the cost of fixing it and the cost of buying a new one, well, they outweighed it. So we're just going to get a new one and put it there. But I tell you, my friends, this is what I got to tell you, is that it just started with that, but it took faithfulness. It took standing there every day. It took seeing myself in it. In fact, there's a part of my sermon this last week. We're starting a new TV show, and it's going to be called Sunday Review. Sunday Review. And on this Sunday Review, we're going to sit with pastors, not only my pastor, but other pastors in the local area to start with, and we're going to get footage from those places, and we're going to talk with them about what they did, what they talked about in their Sunday sermon. And I'm going to do the first Sunday Review right now. We got about 10 minutes left, and I'd love to share with you. There's 7 points that you need to have in your when you look at what God is doing, when you see the possibilities that God has for you, when you see the great things that God wants to do for you, you have to have some things to kind of weigh it with, and not weigh it to the point where should I do it, but weigh to the point where you're going to stay confident. You're going to stay encouraged. You know, and my whole ministry is about encouraging you. And not all of it, part of it, big part of it is about encouraging you when you're waiting for God's gift. You know, when I waited and waited and waited and waited, and it killed me to wait. It did. It did. It killed me to wait. And one of the things that you need to have in two, I can name them all. I think I'm trying to remember all my sermon that I had, and there's 8 things, and we're gonna cover a couple of them, the ones I remember. Amen. The ones that I remember, we're gonna cover, but we can talk about it. And that's the first one is see yourself in it. See yourself in it. You cannot do the work of God and get things in your life until you see yourself in it. In other words, put it in your spirit. Look at it. See it. See if it's a tangible. Make it tangible in your mind and your spirit. I was sharing with you about the radio station, how we started it.
I see myself in it. Before I preach, I see myself preaching the sermon. When I have my healing services, and we have them around the country and overseas, I spend time meditating, and I see myself preaching and healing people. I see myself doing the work of the Lord. I see myself on the platform. And that's a lot of times how I write my sermons. I see myself preaching them. And I'm different, maybe, I don't know. But that's what you have to, see it. You have to see it. You know, I have an old friend and that was my pastor when I was a young man. And when I got out of the Navy, and he said, if you can hold it in your spirit, you can hold it in your hand. If you can hold it in your spirit, you can hold it in your hand. The other thing is stay hungry. You know, a lot of times when we're doing the work of God, I mean, we get at a point where, man, things are just good. You know, if anyone can say things are good, I could probably say things are good right now and say, hey, they are good. They're really good. They're awesome. Things are good. But it should never quench the hunger, because that hunger keeps you motivated. That hunger keeps you looking. That hunger makes you want to do things, makes you want to get the things done. Get the things out there. Look for new ways to reach people. A lot of ministries and a lot of individuals, they don't stay hungry. And if they don't stay hungry, they're not building on something else on the side or building something else over here. There's always got to be movement in your ministry. There always got to be the next level that you got to go to. Now, I'm not saying you have to be doing hundreds and hundreds of hours of work a week, but I'm just saying stay hungry. Keep that in your belly. Keep it in your belly. You know, a good friend of mine shared a story one time. And that story was about two wolves, and about a boy and two wolves. And he said that I'm trying to remember the story. Hold on, and about two wolves that lived inside of him, and he could tell that he was, you know, on some days he was great, on some days he was really bad. And the father looked at him and told him, you know, there's two wolves that live inside of you. And he goes, what do you mean, Dad? He goes, there's two wolves that live inside you. You know, a gray one and a white one. And the white one is the good one. The gray one is the bad one. And he goes, well, what do you mean? He goes, however you're acting is the wolf that's acting at the time. And I'm not saying there's wolves in you, but listen to this. And he goes, well, how do I be good? How do I stay good then? He goes, well, it depends on which one you're feeding. It depends on which wolf you're feeding. So if you want to feed and you want to stay hungry, and that wolf in you is about energy and focus, then you stay hungry for the good things that God has for you. The other thing is stay focused. Now, we all hear this, the scripture, the parables that Jesus teaches. And he teaches us on the man with the three people that made excuses that they couldn't go with him at that time. It's in Luke or John. And that's pretty general, right? It's in Luke or John. But he tells us, and you remember when he says, any man that takes the hands and put their hands on the plow and is ready to go and look his back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. Everybody's kind of like, well, man, that's kind of harsh. Lord, that's kind of rough there talking like that. But, you know, he is true. And what he's trying to cover in those three parables is this. If you're going to do the work of God, don't look at what you're missing. Don't look at what you're letting go. Don't look at what you might need in the future. Or don't look back and see how things were and how happy you would have been. If you just stick with God and stay focused and keep your mind and your heart going forward and you're staying focused, then God is going to do some awesome things with you. So he's saying that if you don't get unfocused, if you don't get distracted and you stay focused on the work of God and you grab that plow like you're going to work it, then you're worthy of the kingdom of God. And I think we all have to agree to that we all have to agree that we're worthy of the kingdom of God when we do that, when we just jump in there. Another thing is God knows. He knows your abilities. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going to be. He knows your address. So if he needs to get you a blessing, he knows how to get that to you. Whether he smells it, sends someone by, or so happen, bumps you in the road there and gives you a blessing. I heard of that once. I heard this lady say that she was driving home. She was testifying on television that she needed to pay her rent. And she was driving out of this subdivision and someone just hit her in the back. It wasn't a hard hit, but the person was in a rush somewhere. And the business lady came out, just gave him a check and said, hey, here's my information, but here's a check to cover the damages or whatever. If it's more, please call me. She took off. She was so much in a rush. And she was all happy. She was able to pay her rent and stuff. Now, I'm not saying God's going to bless you with that. I'm not saying I believe that he's going to bless you like that. I'm just saying that that's what happened to this lady. So you take it for what it is. And that's what happened with her. And that's amazing to see that happen. I mean, it's just amazing. So God knows where you're at. God knows your ability. God knows the season. God knows the time that when things are going to happen for you. When things are going to happen, he knows. He knows when it is, where it is, and how it's going to happen. There's several more that we can jump into, several more that we can talk about. But unfortunately, I didn't bring all of them with me. And the last one probably would be location, location, location. I had to borrow that from my pastor. Location, location, location. And that is simple. God knows there's a specific place, a specific time, a place that God has ordained for your ministry to just take off. There's places where you are going to be blessed, and places where you're going to be ministered to, and places where you're going to get training. But there is a place, a physical place that you will need to be at for things to happen. Everyone in the Word of God that got anything from God was at a specific place in their life, yes, but a specific location physically where they were standing, where they were sitting, where they were praying, where they were looking out a window. God did something for them in a specific location. And there's no difference. There's no difference that God will do the same thing that we have there. So, I mean, that he has there for you. So you got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. And another thing is, if I can try to remember the other one, and that is that there's a scripture that I read. In the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether it will prosper, either this or that, or whether both will prosper. In other words, just do it. Just do it. You do what you got to do. Do it. Do it. Just figure out how to get it done. And when you figure it out, don't give up. Stay focused on it and do it. And make it happen. Make it happen. Make something happen with it. Do not just start something and leave it there. No. Stay focused, but do it. Get something. Get something done. The other thing is to pray to God. Seek him out. Ask him for opportunities for you to be a blessing. Ask him for opportunities. Opportunities for you to be a blessing. Because you know what? When you start doing that, God's going to bless you. When you start doing that, God is going to bless you. When you start doing that, you just do what you got to do, but then ask God. Ask God. I'm constantly in prayer with God. I'm constantly looking and trying to see where he can help me. And a lot of times, the opportunities, and I'll tell you this, is that you just plug in. You just plug in. You just plug in where you can. You're probably somewhere right now that you can plug in and be a blessing. So you want to do that. You want to make sure that you can touch people's lives and just plug in. You know, I plugged in at my church where I'm at. And now I'm at a good spot. I'm staying hungry. I'm constantly doing things. But I'm plugged in. I'm plugged in and I'm working the work of God. I'm doing things that just are amazing to many people. But to me, they just seem simple. They do. And I just really found some favor with the people that I work with here, and also with God. Just have a lot of favor in what we're doing. And we moved our trips around, and supposed to be in Russia sometime in the spring. We just got invited to Israel, of course, and we're going to look into that. But we're going to Kenya and Africa in December, taking some pastors with me, so I'll be responsible to take care of them out there. And other than that, you know, it just you just keep doing things, you know. You just stay focused. You keep yourself motivated, and you just do what you got to do in faith for the Lord. And I can't remember the number one thing, but see yourself in it. Stay hungry. Stay focused. Do it. Seek opportunities. Plug in. Those two things are the same. God knows, and location is the best place. And you just keep those things as just good checklists. And good things, and God is going to use them. He's going to bless you. There's no doubt that he's going to bless you. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. That's P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can write us Revelation Ministries at any time. And also our email, david@revmedianetwork.com. david@revmedianetwork.com. We'll be able to talk with you, able to email you back and forth and see what we can help. Be a blessing. I want to thank everyone that's been on the show today, Miss Karen Dunham and Mark, her assistant, and the amazing things that they're doing out there and going to refugee camps. And isn't that a miracle? The guy just that was being as stubborn as ever, and the God, Jesus literally showed himself to him and touched his life. That's God. Those are the kind of people you want to work with. Those are the kind of people you want to be a part of and see what you can do and see how you can be a blessing. We want to see too. Now, not every place you're going to be able to help. Amen. Not everyone you're going to be able to do be a blessing to. But there are those that God will line up for you that you can do great things, that you can make wonderful things that God has a wonderful plan for. And we're hoping and praying and believing that that's going to happen to everyone that is listening on the show right now, that God's going to bless you, that God's going to encourage you, that God's going to make the things that you need more and more relevant in your life, and you're going to see great things happen. You know, the day when I was driving and went, of course, by the P.O. box and looked at what we had in there, and normally I just get mail, not many donations. Most of our donations are online or physically dropped off here at the station, and I never make a plea because I just really believe God put this out there for us, and there is opportunity to give. If you're on the website, there are donation buttons, and I looked at that and I'm like, Lord, you know, from everyone that I've heard from that own TV stations, that run ministries and large ministries, they all said their giving has gone down and it's been a tough year. And I'm thinking, you know, it is a tough year and people are cutting back so they can survive. And I want to tell you something, and this is nothing to really get you rattled, but this is true. At a time when income has shortened, in a time when things have gone up in price, and this is something that I felt, and I never, and y'all that know me know I never ask for offerings or anything on the air, and I don't push that. But I have to give you something out of my experience. If the times have gotten harder, and the funds have gotten lower, and the cost has gotten higher itself, isn't that the time that you should trust God with your seed? Because I tell you what, we serve a God with heaven's economy, not earth's economy. In other words, if you sow, you're going to reap. As you sow and do it faithfully, you're going to continue reaping faithfully. And that's something I just had to share and just get that out of my heart and tell you that if you have a need, you need to sow a seed and see what God can do for you. And I tell you, God's changed my life. I don't have everything I want, but one day I will praise God. As I sow my seeds, I know God will be blessing and touching people's lives. I've sowed my seeds to missions. I sow my seeds to local churches that are working in inner cities. And I tell you, God is doing some amazing things with those places that we sow the seeds. It's a work, and we know it's a time of progress and time of just prayer. But God is good. Hey, thanks for listening to our show today. We're excited about the guests that we're on, and we'll see you next time on the Midwatch. Write me, david@revmedianetwork.com. God bless. We'll catch you next time again on the Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.